Let's turn with us to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll be preaching from verse number 11. I'm going to go ahead and start reading at verse number 7. To give us a little bit of background, but we'll be taking our message from verse number 11. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, this morning for the great privilege it is to preach your Word. And Lord, above all, this morning, we need your power. We need your wisdom. Lord, we just need everything from you. And Father, I would ask that you would do what needs to be done in each one of our hearts today. And Lord, thank you for those who've come to be here in this place. Thank you for our children church hour, Lord, taking place now. We pray for them. Ask you, God, to do what needs to be done in those. And Father, we'll always remember to praise you and honor you. Lord, thank you for who you are. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning which we've entitled The Cross and Its Victory. The Cross and Its Victory. You know, living in a world where Satan and just carnality of man has taken the things of God and made them minute things. You come to a day called Christmas, and I realize this is not Christmas, but you come to a day called Christmas, which is a day that we've set aside to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask most children today, or most young people today, what Christmas is, and they would refer to gifts. They would refer to a man called Santa Claus, before they'd ever tell you it was the birth of Jesus Christ. That's widespread, folks. That's everywhere. You take a day which we call Easter. And Easter, a very special day which we've set aside to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a precious time that is. Which again, if you would ask most young people and probably many adults, they couldn't tell you what the resurrection or what Easter really represented. They would tell you about an Easter bunny that laid eggs and hid them in funny places. And that's what they think of. When Easter comes around, it means Easter eggs. That's what it's become. Satan has also taken the church and done everything he can to make the church into a place of social activity. Instead of a place where the Bible, the Word of God, is preached, where people can come and hear about Christ Jesus, our wonderful Lord, and how that through him they can have salvation. It's a place where they come to pray together. And in fact, a place where they come to repent, get right with God, because the Bible, the Word of God, has been preached. But Satan and the liberals and society as a whole has turned the house of God into just another place, another meeting. And it isn't. There is no meeting like church meeting. where God the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to move upon hearts because of the Word of God being preached. Man has done the same thing to what I'm preaching on today, talking about the cross. Please bear with me. Let me say this first. I'll use myself as an illustration first. On the front of the car that my wife drives is a license plate that has a cross on it, and it says Jesus is the answer. It has a message beside it explaining why the cross is there. I know that multitudes of people, sometimes they'll put it on a necklace or a pin or something like that as a cross, and they mean from the bottom of their heart, they're trying to display some. It means something to them. There's no doubt about it. It means something to them. It means they're not looking at it just as a pin. They're looking at it as something, as a reminder of what Jesus Christ done for them, and also as a testimony to other people. I realize that, and I know that. I want to preface what I'm getting ready to say by that, understanding that that is true. But I was reading an article, and I saw in a periodical an ad. It's a full-page ad, and it said, Christian jewelry. It said a beautiful line of contemporary designs for women and men in pendants, rings, earrings, and tie tacks, precious metals with or without diamonds. And the title of it was, it said, From the Inspired Cross Collection. Now, I'm not here to condemn somebody wearing a cross. I hope you understand that. Not a thing wrong with that. It maybe means something very, very special to you. But what I am saying is this. The world has tried to bring it into a minute thing and tried to destroy the effectiveness of the cross of Jesus Christ as so just kind of making it commonplace. But the cross has always been an emblem of suffering and shame. It always has been and always should be. It's just not something we dangle around our neck. And again, it's fine if it means something to you. But let me say something to you. I've seen people wear crosses that have no idea what being a Christian is. I've seen people wear crosses when they're dressing so ungodly. I've seen people wearing crosses when they're doing things that Jesus Christ would never do. I've seen people wearing crosses when they go places the Lord Jesus would not have us go. So what I'm saying is, I'm talking about that crowd. I'm talking about the crowd who so belittled the cross of Jesus Christ and gotten this world away from what it really means. So this morning I want to preach a message on the cross and its victory. You know, Paul said this, by the cross the world is crucified unto me. Paul said, because of the cross and what happened on the cross of Calvary, this world is dead to me. He also went on to say, and I unto the world. In other words, I also am crucified unto the world. In other words, that cross, what happened on that cross of Calvary, caused me to die to this world. So it has some pretty deep meaning. It says something. It's got a message. And it isn't just a message of jewelry or someone to display it with no meaning behind it. Many people imagine that the power, or there's some special magical power in the making of a cross sign or the display or the wearing of a cross. And sometimes they think by doing that they can even cause demons to flee. There's some magical power in there just by displaying the cross. Now again, ladies, you wear the cross, I'm not after you. You understand that? I'm not after you. It means something to you. It has a meaning to you. But I'm talking about, folks, that there's people who think there's some kind of magic in the fact that they would cause make a form of a cross or wear some kind of a cross and automatically the demons would flee. No, God said, In the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Not the wearing or the displaying of the cross, but the preaching of the cross. We have on the front of our building, or we did have until we start building, we will have again, we have a big cross that goes up there. It's made out of a wild cherry. And it goes on the front of that. We don't put that there lightly. To us as a church, we know what it means. We know it's where Jesus died. And you'll notice he ain't up there anymore. But it's a symbol of the fact that we remember the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary. And let me say to you, though, it's not the power of the cross as you preach the cross. The power of the cross has nothing to do with some shape or display of some piece that maybe is formed in a cross. But the power in the cross is that Jesus Christ, the perfect, precious, wonderful, perfect Son of God, died on that cross. That's what it's about. That's what the message is. You see, it's much more than just a symbol. Over in Galatians, turn if you wish, but not, just listen. Galatians, the second chapter, verse number 20. Listen to what he said. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, folks, listen. When you see a cross, it ought to mean a lot more, a whole lot more than just an emblem in your hand. It ought to remind you that upon that cross of Calvary, when Jesus died, you died with him if you're a Christian. You was crucified. It means suffering and shame, not some joyful thing. The cross is a place where the Son of God died for the sins of all of the world. And we ought never forget what the cross is. The old rugged cross is an emblem of suffering and shame, and yet it's been redefined by the liberals and the apostates as something meaningless, just like they did Christmas, just like they did Easter, just like they've done to much of the churches in America, meaningless. But the cross is not meaningless. And what happens is that what we're doing now, we're getting everything bundled up in packages and pretty wrapping paper, and we're delivering now from many of the churches a message that suits the taste of the world. It's not what God told us to preach. We're to preach a message of the cross, and Christ died on that cross for our sins. It's serious business, you see. And so what happens is we don't give them the true story, and so when we're done, they're still lost and undone. They've never come to Christ because the cross don't mean anything to them. Before I go on preaching, I'm going to say this one thing. I won't look at who's doing it, but I don't want any foolishness. I don't want any talking during these services. I don't want any smiling and laughing when I'm preaching on the cross of Christ. Now you stop it, and you stop it now. Serious business. Understand? Now you've caused me to interrupt my preaching. Please don't do it again. Pope John Paul II plans to open what he calls a holy door over at St. Peter's in Rome for the year 2000. Now, I think about the physical things. I was thinking about Christmas, so the world's got our mind on a Santa Claus. I think about Easter. Instead of the real wonderful truth of the resurrection, the world's got people's minds upon Easter eggs. I think about the church, and instead of thinking and remembering what the church is really all about, it's become that social place that people gather to have fun instead of a place where the Bible's preached. I think about the cross, and it's become a piece of jewelry to people or something just to wear. That's all it means to them. And here we have over in Rome a man who says he's going to open a holy door in St. Peter's. And anybody that goes through that door They get special indulgences, reducing the suffering in purgatory for those who pass through that door. First place, there is no such thing as purgatory. It's either heaven or hell, immediately after death. But he's going to give some special indulgence for just walking through that physical door. All of you walked through a door just as important this morning. In fact, you walked through two of them to get into this auditorium. So you're double blessed. We're offering indulgences. So. You came in the front door to get into the foyer, and then you came through these doors to get in into the auditorium, and here you sit, having been through two doors. Do you feel better? That's all the door at St. Peter's is. It's just a door that you go in and out. And yet, here's what they're predicting. Literal millions will go there, spend absolutely fortunes to go there just to walk through that door. When Jesus Christ said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Not some physical door, but Jesus Christ is the door. And what I want to do is take a few moments this morning and talk to you about the cross and its victory. The blood of the Lamb, where Jesus died, shed his blood upon the cross, is where you and I have victory. It's because of what he did. That's the reason that you and I can have eternal life. You remember when Abraham took his son up on the mountain, Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him? I personally believe, and I think this is true, I believe it was very near to where Jesus Christ literally died upon the cross. Where he was taken up and where this was all offered, I believe, is where the temple was built later on. But anyway, he took him up on this mountain, and he was going to offer Isaac. You all remember the story, and Isaac said, "Well, behold the fire, behold the wood, but where's the lamb? We're going up to make a sacrifice. Here's the fire." They was carrying it. The wood had been loaded onto Isaac. Isaac was carrying the wood up the hill. And Abraham turned to him and said, "God will provide." First of all, he said, "He will provide." And let me say to you today, there's only one way for provision to be made for your salvation, and that is if God provides. You and I can provide nothing to help in our salvation. Absolutely zilch, nothing. You can't do any good work to help you get saved. God provided. And then he says, "God shall provide himself." That's what Abraham said. And that's exactly what he did. God said, "I provide myself." He provided God the Son. He is God and provided himself as a lamb. That's what he said. As a lamb and as a burnt offering. Jesus Christ became that wonderful Lamb of God. John the Baptist recognized that when he looked and saw, "And behold, cometh the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of all the world." John the Baptist recognized that 1900 years or 2000 years after Abraham said it. He said, "There's the Lamb of God. There he is. There's the sacrifice." And God has provided him himself, God the Son, as a sacrifice for our sin. Now, how did he do that? Well, he did that on the cross of Calvary. I want to talk to you a little bit about the cross. The Bible says in Romans, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus Christ commended his love for us while you were still a sinner. Before you become anything, while you was and I was worthless and undone, God loved us and sent his Son to die for our sins. Where? On the cross. He says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." What a wonderful thing it is to realize you'll never have to face the wrath of Almighty God because of Jesus. And where did that take place? On the cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. The place where the Son of God died. In Ephesians, the first chapter, 7th verse, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. Bought back. I mean, he bought us back from old Satan and all that we were and where we were headed. Every single person without Christ is headed for hell. You understand that. If you understand your Bible, you know that. And God came along and sent his Son to die on the cross so that we could no longer have to go to hell. But he bought us back and made us sons of God. And he says, even the forgiveness of sin, every sin you've ever committed and every sin you ever will commit was under the blood of Jesus. Glory. Amen. Where did that take place? On the cross. In Ephesians, the second chapter, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know, he's talking about specifically there, he's talking about the Gentiles. Any Jewish people in here? Anybody is a Jew in here this morning? So we're all Gentiles. See, you're one or the other. You're either a Gentile or you're a Jew. Amen. And he said, so that means all of us was made nigh. We who were far off, God made us nigh by the blood of the cross. Folks, do you realize what happened on that cross? Him suffering there, shedding his blood. Do you understand and realize that is why you and I can call out and claim his wonderful name and have salvation? Because of what happened on that cross? Wonderful. Colossians, the first chapter, he says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Do you realize why you have peace with God today? Do you understand that you have that wonderful peace with God because of the cross? You couldn't have peace with God without the cross. And what Christ done on that cross. So does it become important? Isn't it more important than just a piece of jewelry? Is it more important than something just to display? That when we do display it, it ought to mean something to us. Because it's where it happened. I want you to go over with me to 1 Peter just quickly. First Peter, the second chapter. Understanding and realizing these are very familiar verses of Scripture, but I want you to listen to them as I read them. 13th verse, chapter 1, 1 Peter. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means behavior. God says, because God is holy and we're his children, how should we live? Well, we should live holy. I mean, amen? Isn't that what he's saying? Sure he is. And he said, that's what we ought to live. That's what we ought to do. Why? Because of who God is and who we are. But because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, and from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. I want you to know those trinkets, whether they're made out of jewelry, whether made out of diamonds, or whether they're made out of gold or made out of silver, has nothing to do with our salvation. But here's what has to do with our salvation. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's why you have salvation. That's what the cross is all about. That's what it cost Christ for you and I salvation. That's what it cost him, his precious blood. We find out also in 1 John, the first chapter, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's because of the cross, because of the shed blood that was shed there on that cross that we can have our sins washed away and be clean. In the eyes of God, we're clean. If you've been washed in the blood, you accepted Christ as your Savior, you've been cleaned and washed because of the cross. Revelation, first chapter, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Bible tells us that on the cross of Calvary, he proved his love. I don't know how you could prove love any more than that. I don't know if there's any person here, and I doubt if there is, that thinks they deserve that. Jesus Christ going to the cross for their sins. I don't think if I would ask you, you would not say you deserved that. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. But God showed us how much he loved us in that even though we were yet sinners, he went to the cross and died there. You see, he did it and he shed his blood there. Where? On the cross. On the cross. Not only that, in Revelation the 5th chapter, he says, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations." Once again, he's talking about here that we've been washed, we've been cleansed, we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And he's talking about all tongues, all nations, all people, anybody can get saved. What a truth. Do you understand this morning, no matter who you are or what you have ever done, you can come to Christ and he'll forgive you and cleanse you and wash you clean. That's wonderful. Revelation 17 chapter says, "There are they which which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Where did that take place? On the cross. You see, the victory is in the cross. So what I'm simply trying to say to you and I, we ought to be careful how we treat the cross. We ought to be careful when we're talking about it. We ought to remember it is an emblem of suffering and shame that Jesus suffered while he was on that cross for your sin and my sin. And because of that blood that was shed there, we have redemption. Go back with me to Revelation, the text, Revelation verse 11. He says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." It's because of the cross that they could overcome him. And then listen what happened. "And by the word of their testimony." Do you understand that because of the cross and the work of the cross in our hearts, there's an outward manifestation of what the cross has done for us? There ought to be an outward manifestation. I want to show you that outward manifestation in the book of Acts. Go back with me to the book of Acts, the second chapter. 14th verse. I want you, and we're just going to read a few verses along here in the book of Acts, but I want you to listen to what happened. Because of the cross and because of these people in the book of Acts, because of them putting their faith and trust in the cross of Christ, in the work of Christ on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, because of all of that, here's what they did. Verse number 14. "But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." They begin to speak about it. Look at verse 22, and here's what they begin to preach. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by the miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Do you know what they did? These men went out and began to preach the cross. They began to preach that Jesus Christ was slain upon that cross, and because of him and his finished work, they could have eternal life. And the people who did believe in him was out preaching that message. They was telling other people about how wonderful the cross was and what it had done for them. Look at verse number 22, verse number 32. He says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he said himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foe thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." You know what? We could go through the book of Acts. We could go through that over and over and over again. And we find these men of God who had been redeemed because of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We see them proclaiming that. And they're preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what the cross is all about. It's not some trinket. It's not something to make somebody rich because they made hundreds of them and sell them all over the country. It's not that. It's more important than that. It's the place where Jesus died. And you can go through that book of Acts over and over and over through the book of Acts, and you'll find men testifying, women testifying about Christ and what he had done for them. And let me say to you, because of that, Satan was defeated. And multitudes of people received Christ and believed because these men went about preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's a message we ought to preach. That's why we preach the cross here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And then I want to show you one last thing here in the book of Revelation, that last part of that verse 11. By the word of their testimony, in other words, yes, it was the blood of Christ that washed them clean. It was the cross where the blood was shed. They went out then and began to give their testimony, and other people began to believe and hear the truth and were saved. But then it says, and they loved not their lives unto death. You know what? You know what happened? They love Christ more than their life. You know why? Because of the work of the cross. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And I've bemoaned the fact many times. I say to myself, I talk to me and I say to myself, look what Jesus Christ done for you. Look, as he went there and suffered that horrible death, he did it for you. And the little things that he would ask of me mean nothing, are nothing compared to what he did. And it's not just the physical thing that happened to him on the cross. That's the minor part of it. It's that he carried your and my sin to that cross. Whew. And died there for the sin of all the world. And so you know what they were saying? They were saying, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They said the message of Jesus Christ, the message of the cross, is more important than our lives. And you go on through the Bible, you'll find in 2 Timothy, you find Paul coming to the end of his life. He was not unhappy because he gave his whole life to the preaching of the cross. He said, I'm ready to be offered up. I'm ready to go. Why? Because of the cross. He doesn't say, oh, wait a minute. If you're going to take my life, I don't know. I want to recant. I don't know if I want to do this or not. Oh, no, no. He was rejoicing. And I think he rejoiced right up to the time they cut his head off. You know why? Because his life did not mean near as much as Christ meant. You go through the Bible, you go through the book of Revelation, you'll find martyr after martyr after martyr. You'll find people dying because of their faith. If you read history, you read church history, you find people dying because of their faith. I will have to say this. God in America here, at least in our area, has not caused us or called for us to die because of our faith. But could that happen? Well, I believe it could. And I'm simply saying to you is, you know, him and the work he did on the cross of Calvary ought to mean more than our life. The cross and its victory. I say to you today, have you ever come to the cross? Has there been ever a time when you've recognized and understood Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins and that you are a sinner? I'm not asking you if you're churched. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm asking you, have you ever been born again? Truly born again. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Only you really can answer that. I can't look from the outward and tell, as well as you can't look at me and tell. You might see some things that you'd say, well, I think that person's saved by the way they act, but you don't know what goes on inside. You don't know whether they've truly believed in Christ or not. So I'm saying to you, have you ever come to the cross truly recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died there for your sin and you are a sinner and you need to cry out to God and say, God, I've sinned. I've come short of your glory and I want you to forgive me and save me and let me give you good news. He'll do it. He'll do it. because he loves you. But he won't if you don't receive him. If you're not willing to say, Lord, I'm that old sinner. I just need saved. Amen. So I'm asking you today, please, to look at the cross a little bit different than you've been looking at it. It's just some trinket. Maybe you haven't been looking at it like that, but if you have some trinket that hangs around somebody's neck, or maybe displayed on a license plate, like I said it was on ours, or maybe on a shirt. What does it mean when you see the cross? Is it become more than just a trinket? Is it an emblem of suffering and shame, where Jesus Christ died for the sin of all the world? I ask you, please, to consider that today. If you're here without Christ, it'd be a great time to get saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for your goodness and your kindness and the wonderful grace of God. And I do want to thank you for what happened on the cross of Calvary. I thank you that the blood of your Son was shed there. And Father, because of that, we have redemption through him. We have the cleansing. We have the forgiveness of sin. Once again, we have peace between us and God because of what happened on Calvary's cross. So I pray, Father, if there's those here that are not saved, Lord, I would pray this would be the day of their salvation. Ask you, Lord, for them to step forward and come and let us help them with the Bible, the Word of God, that they might present themselves unto you, repent of their sin, and turn to the Lord and be saved. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.